This has been a presentation of Odyssey Sports. For even more coverage of your team, download the free Odyssey app and listen to your favorite stations, shows, and podcasts.
Welcome in to Vern's post-game show.
Massey not stopping in second and slides into third with a two-run triple.
Here's Josh Vernier.
All right, good evening. 6-5, the final score. Royals lose. They drop game three to the Mariners. They hope to earn a split tomorrow afternoon in the finale, where we're likely to see Angel Zerpa, likely with an opener in front of him, but we'll see. No official announcement from the Royals just yet. Let me give you the phone number right out of the gate. If you were one of the near 12,000 in the building tonight, you're not going to have to wait on hold. I can't imagine you had to wait for much tonight. Restrooms, concessions, beautiful night at the ballpark. Right? Got to admit that. Before we dive into what was the 83rd loss of the season, sure was a beautiful night, right? Phone number, same as our text line number, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. I'm happy to go wherever you want to go, so long as it pertains to the Royals or to Major League Baseball. You want to go elsewhere, I'm not interested. Now, as far as this game is concerned, this 6-5 Mariners victory, look, I've been saying it for the past few days, multiple times today, so much so that I kind of felt like a jerk. Now, Cody and Gold had me on today. CDOT was nice enough to have me on the drive. Our winner earlier today on the pitch clock, the guy that won a pair of Royals tickets, as we give you a chance to win Royals tickets every single day. 1 hour before first pitch right here on 610 Sports Radio. We had a winner earlier today, John in Overland Park, and he called up, and you know, I welcomed him onto the trivia game that we play, and he said, man, Vern, haven't we been playing some exciting baseball? And that's basically the way that Alex Gold welcomed me onto Cody and Gold earlier today. Man, Vern, Royals are at least playing an exciting brand of baseball. I mentioned I felt like a jerk because when I heard that from Gold, from CDOT, from John in Overland Park, I mean, I started to grimace and just kind of shake my head like, no, not really. Now, they've still lost 8 of 11. Okay, they're scoring runs. Yeah, they're averaging 5.5 runs per game over the last 11 games. But they've lost 8 of them. The reason why I've never really gotten on board that, oh my God, the Royals are playing better baseball is because to me, it just comes down to four guys. Brady Singer's pitching to a number one. It allows everyone else to fall in line. Bobby Witt Jr.'s playing like a superstar. Michael Garcia's playing like a 10-year vet. Salvador Perez is a 10-year vet and right now clearing his way to Cooperstown. So while many Royals fans, and I appreciate the optimism, are all excited about the recent exciting play from their favorite baseball team, to me, it's the same team that we've been watching all season, just Brady's pitching really well, Bobby's the guy, Salvi's a stud, and Michael's legit. So let's look at those four tonight. Let's look at your four stars and if they were able to deliver tonight. Bobby Witt went 0 for 5. Salvi had a pair of singles. Michael Garcia had a double right out of the gate to extend his hitting streak to 18 games. But then he made what I consider the back-breaking error. It's foolish to lay a game at the feet of one individual or one play. But that error by Michael Garcia to lead off the eighth inning, that to me cost him the game. If I'm going to lay the loss at anyone's feet, it's going to be at the feet of the 23-year-old Michael Garcia. I'm sorry, but I've spent the past few months trying to explain to Royals fans that this young man is past the evaluation season. Okay, maybe he's not the superstar that Salvi has been. Maybe he's not the superstar that Bobby Witt Jr. is turning into. But he's a leader on this team. He's one of the three best bats on this team. He's one of the better defenders on this team. And without question, he's one of the three most consistent players on this team. When you do that, when you become a leader by production, when you become one of the graduates of this evaluation season, I'm going to hold you to a higher standard. I mean, I remember sitting here in April. Bobby and MJ had a really rough game. They were having a really rough stretch. And I let it be known my frustration with the both of them, because I held both of them to a higher standard because of what they did in 2022. My standard with Bobby has been unchanged. Sure, I've lowered my standard somewhat for MJ Melendez. He can build it back up with a strong 2024. Now keep in mind, MJ's been hitting his tail off since the All-Star break. MJ's hitting .304 since the Midsummer Classic with an OPS near 900. So MJ's balling right now. So I'm not trying to knock him. I'm just being honest with you. I had this type of hope for MJ. What we're seeing since the All-Star break, I've been waiting for this since the beginning of the season. A little too late for me. But Michael, I now hold you to that standard. So when Dylan Coleman comes out of the bullpen to pitch the top of the eighth inning, 4-4 game, 2-2 pitch, and the nine hitter grounds you, not a hot shot, but a slow roller right up that third base foul line, kind of worried it's going to hit the bag. I'm not saying it's an easy play, but this is the big leagues. Not many things are easy. I got to hold you to a high standard. I need you to make that play. So Bobby goes 0-for, Salvi doesn't have an extra base hit. Michael Garcia makes what I believe is the back-breaking error, and Brady Singer wasn't on the hill. I got nothing negative to say about the pitching. Alec Marsh, it wasn't pretty, but he got the job done. Austin Cox, it wasn't pretty, but he got the job done, finishing it off by picking off a base runner. You know, Dylan Coleman, it wasn't pretty, but he got the job done. He should have put up a zero, and instead he allows an unearned run. So I got nothing negative to say about the pitching. Yeah, James MacArthur wasn't good in the first inning. Okay, did you know who James MacArthur was when you showed up today? Probably not. I'm certainly not going to get frustrated that James MacArthur was James MacArthur. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Again, that's 913-586-7610. I would love to get to a place this season where I don't think, hey, show me the box. You know what? Don't even show me the box score. Just tell me what Bobby, Salvi, and Michael did. I'd love to be at a place where I don't think it's that easy. I'll tell you what happened in the game. You just tell me what those three did. That's all I need to know. But that's where I'm at right now. How about you? Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. Let's talk with Josh, who's leaving Kauffman Stadium after this 6-5 Royals defeat. Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, I just pretty much want to shut up because you just vented on everything I wanted to say.
Well, that's no good. I'm sorry. I took too much. I'm a windbag,
no, hey,
Josh.
I was listening, and I was fully invested, and I was nodding, and the only thing I Benintendi, I give him a little, not Benintendi, Jesus.
It's all right.
I can't.
Don't worry about it. You're good. Who are you talking about?
I'd give him a little bit more of a leash than you are.
Talking about Michael Garcia?
Yes.
Yeah. Look, I'm not giving up on the kid. I want him leading off, playing third base for the rest of the season and for the next 5 years. I love the kid, but that's what comes with it.
I do as well. I just, I don't know. But seriously, I have to drive home. I was like, yep, everything you're saying. So I will digress because I agree.
All right. Well, Josh, great name, and I can't praise you too much because then it's just praising myself. But way to go, brother. Appreciate the phone call. Glad you had it's a beautiful night. I'm sure you had a good time. Drive safe. Phone lines are open. 913-586-7610. Yeah, don't get me wrong. No, Michael Garcia, you know, I'll throw this out there. You know, the talk of the upcoming offseason and what this front office, what this organization must do. And we always want to compare whatever Royals team we're talking about with that 2015 championship team and the build-up to 2015. And I've often brought up the offseason going into 2013 when the front office acquired James Shields, Wade Davis, Irvin Santana, and re-signed Jeremy Guthrie. We've often had the conversation of does this front office need to have a similar offseason? Does this ownership need to partner with their front office and make it happen to bring in the type of starters that these young bats need to avoid becoming losers, like we've seen the previous core of Royals? Right? You know, Nicky Lopez and Hunter Dozier and Whit Merrifield are terrific baseball players, good guys, hard workers with big hearts that love the game. But losing and losing and losing and losing and losing just beat them down. And they began to expect it, accept it, and understand it. And when that happens, you're a loser. And you gotta go. Never happened to Moose and Haas, to Kane or Salvi or Eske, because when it was about to happen, they were surrounded with enough pitching that they felt supported. They were supported by quality pitching. But going into that 2013 offseason, you must remember that there were five guys that front office knew we have under contract for at least another five seasons. Haas, Moose, Kane, Eske, and Salvi. You knew you had them for at least another 5 years. Makes it a little bit easier to go out and trade a Will Myers and a Jake Odorizzi because you know you got those five. That's a pretty good foundation, right? So you could trade those guys and bring in Santana and Shields and Wade Davis. So as we get ready for this upcoming offseason, I got Mikel Garcia with Bobby Witt Jr. You know, when I'm looking at, you got Bobby, you know you have Bobby for at least another 4 years. Mikel's right there with him. Vinny Pasquantino, I got him right there with him. So you got three guys for at least 4 more years. Back then, you had five guys for at least 5 more years. My point is, Mikel's in my mix. He's in my core. He's one of those guys that if you're going to go for it, if you're going to say yes, we got to make sure that these guys don't become losers. These guys are Bobby, Vinny, Mikel. And I hope MJ Melendez has that full season next year and can become one of those guys. I thought he was going to be one of those guys this season. Rough start, didn't happen. Drew Waters, I hope he finishes strong. Drew Waters, today, leadoff triple, comes around to score the Royals' second run of the game. He's got an OPS just shy of 800 since the All-Star break. Michael Massey, I would love for him to become one of those guys. Massey tonight 0-for-3, but with a sac fly in the first inning to put the Royals on the board. So don't get my disappointment in Mikel Garcia's very understandable defensive error. Don't take my disappointment in the play as disappointment in the player. I cannot wait to watch what Mikel Garcia does with the rest of his career. Royals lose 6-5. Quick timeout. We get back to your thoughts after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Burns Post Game Show. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
6-5, the final score. Royals drop game three of this four-game series to the Seattle Mariners. Let's go to the phone calls, 913-586-7610. Let's go to Brendan in Kansas City. Brendan, appreciate the phone call. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, Vern, appreciate everything you do. I did want to just say thank you to start off. Or I know that it can be a long, hard season when, you know, things aren't going our way, but you always do a great job of, you know, staying optimistic and giving us some good points. I really agree with you about, you know, saying what are Salvi, Bobby, and Mikel doing. Mikel's a beast. Yeah. And, I mean, I want to build around him, and I want to build around Bobby. And I guess I was listening to, you know, Cody and Gold this morning, and it's just, it is scary that I've heard, you know, between the few shows, everybody's saying, you know, but everyone's here now. Everyone in the minors is here now. Mm-hmm. So if we don't trade, what are we looking at? You know, and but it's just like you want to hold on to this idea that we could build around guys like Michael, guys like Bobby. Maybe he's not full superstar yet, but I do believe he's got the potential. I believe Salvi's going to stay as long as he can and be that veteran face in the clubhouse. But, you know, I even feel bad for Jordan Lyles being a workhorse all right. year long. Like, things are working, but they're just not working when we need them to. And it just – the shortcomings happen so often that it's like, if we give this away, is the return going to take 4 to 5 years? You know, I mean, you just never know. And so mm-hmm. I just appreciate your thoughts on that. Thank you for everything, Vern.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for calling. I don't see him moving Bobby or Michael. You got two 23-year-olds that play the left side of the infield. I'm not interested in moving either one of them. In fact, I think you got to try to re-sign Bobby Witt Jr. to a long-term extension. Even, again, and I discussed this with Cody and Gold earlier. If I'm Bobby, yeah, I'll listen. It starts at $20 million a year on average, and I want an opt-out after 5 years. That's what I would do if I was Bobby Witt. I'll give you 1 year of my free agency, Royals, because I'm under contract right now for 4 more years. I'll sign a deal for 10 or 12 years, but I want a chance to get out after 5. If you fail to put a winner around me, I want to be able to have control of my own legacy. Build my Hall of Fame plaque somewhere else. Put some World Series rings on that plaque if possible. But Brendan, there will be moves this offseason. There's just nothing that's we've seen from J.J. Piccolo since he took over that would tell you he's going to stand pat this offseason. Even in that low-level offseason he had last year, hindsight being 2020, you mentioned Jordan Lyles. We know what Aroldis Chapman turned into. We'll see Cole Reagans coming up this weekend against the Chicago Cubs. And then Ryan Yarbrough turned into a pair of minor league bats. I would be floored if there weren't big moves this offseason. But yeah, Bobby and Mike Hall, I don't see going anywhere. That's about it, though. I would say just about anyone else can be had. I can't imagine you would get enough for Bobby nor Mike Hall to make it worth your while. Every other person on the roster, definitely. And to your point about the guys that you like, it's just, you know, it's not enough. What you're explaining or what I'm hearing is reflective of the big leagues, right? Everyone's talented. Every team, even Oakland, has good players on it, I promise. Now, the Royals 1 through 7, 1 through 10, yeah, you gotta like it. That's what we always get excited about in spring training and entering opening day. But you remember that championship team. I mean, I would imagine a lot of you remember roster spots 22, 23, 24, 25, because they all contributed. Franklin Morales and Terrence Gore and Drew Butera, Paulo Orlando. These guys contributed, knew their role. Now, as I say that, sure, you have guys that can fill those roles. What you're missing is roster spots 11 to 22. You got the 1 through 10. Every big league club has the 1 through 10. It's not difficult, in my opinion, to find guys. I mean, Nicky Lopez right now is one of those roster spots, 22, 23, 24, 25. And he's perfect for it. You see what he's doing out there in Atlanta. But that's because Atlanta's 1 through 20s, the best in the sport, probably. 913-586-7610. Another text, which is similar to what you're asking, Brendan, I want to get to here. From the 816, Vern, looking at Excuse me. This is Mike from Blue Springs. Vern, looking at Seattle's lineup, ours is comparable, average-wise, to theirs. We got a budding superstar in Bobby Witt. They do, too, in Julio Rodriguez. We have Salvi and Michael. They have Ty France and Teoscar Hernandez. The difference is their 220 hitters, their 230 hitters have more homers and RBI than ours do. And they have a much deeper pitching staff and bullpen. So, Vern, with all that, is it as simple as getting a full-fledged number one, a decent number two to go with Brady, Cole, and Daniel Lynch, and we can compete next season? Well, it's certainly never that simple. You know, to go get a full-fledged number one and a decent number two is very expensive. Monetarily or prospect-wise, it's going to cost you. I believe there will be a move this offseason. Hopefully, I'm hoping. If there's not a move to acquire a number one or a number two, you can go ahead and read into that not only are they not going to compete in 2024, but this truly is the ground floor of the rebuild. This bad boy's only started. So, I believe they're going to go out and acquire a pitcher, whether that's via trade, whether that's one of these bats that you kind of like in the lineup. And I'm talking to you, the Royals fan. Take a pick. Massey, Melendez, Waters, Velasquez, Isbell. You package one of them with a young bat in the minor leagues. You package them with a Salvador Perez. You package them with a Brady Singer, and you try to bring in more pitching. Speaking of which, maybe the best pitcher going right now in the Royals minor league system is 24-year-old Chandler Champlain. He made another start tonight up at the AA level. Went 6 1/3 innings, 9 strikeouts, 1 run on 5 hits. He's now 4-2 since being promoted with an ERA just under 3.3. Chandler Champlain, I heard Paul Gibson talking with Steve Stewart earlier this homestand about his mentality. Annie Rogers of MLB.com said the exact same thing. She said, Vern, you're going to love this guy. The way that he talks, his build, the way that he wants to own the game. And you know me, that's what I want, the old school starting pitcher where, Skip, give me the ball, and I don't want to see you again until the ninth inning. That's the mindset that I want from my starting pitcher, and from all accounts, that's what Chandler Champlain has. So there is pitching in the organization, pitching that could help you next year. No reason to believe that a 24-year-old can't have another big offseason. Speaking of Champlain, remember how you acquired him? That's a trade deadline move last year. Andrew Benintendi to the New York Mets. You mentioned Daniel Lynch. You had to like what you were seeing from Lynch going into the break. I know you're liking what you're seeing from Brady Singer. I can't wait to watch Cole Reagans take the hill coming off his quote-unquote worst start since the trade. It wasn't a bad start, but it was his worst start. I was actually happy he had that type of start because I want to see how he responds. He's been rolling since he got here. I need to know how you're going to handle adversity in a Royals uniform. Text line's always open for you, 913-586-7610. And Mike, to your point about their guys just hit more homers, yeah, they have a higher OPS. That's the name of the game now, right? Hitting homers. And you look at this Royals lineup, Bobby hits bombs, Salvi hits bombs, and that's really it. You know, to bring it back to MJ Melendez, this is why he's fallen, in my mind, somewhat. And he can regain it next year. Again, he is rolling since the All-Star break, an OPS near 900. You know, that's the MJ that this organization needs. They need the guy that's going to run into 20-plus home runs a season. Got to be that guy. Need him to be that guy. We'll hear from MJ Melendez coming up in just a moment. From the 816, this is from a gentleman calling himself Mick Ginger. He writes, Vern, you're around the boys more than most. Is there like a team goal feeling for the rest of the season? Like, are they trying to get to 62 wins? Are they trying to get to 52 wins? I don't know if you're being sarcastic with that. That sounds like you're being sarcastic. I guess that maybe I should have picked up on that with the name. But no, they're not. All right, everyone, bring it in. All right, Salvi, come on, bring it in. All right, 52 wins on three. 1, 2, 3. 52 wins. No, man, no, nobody's rooting to get to 52 wins. The edict from the coaching staff is consistency. Every day you're trying to win. You're not trying to get 11 more wins. You're trying to win tomorrow at 110 against George Kirby. And pack a lunch, by the way. That dude. I mean, when he lets go of the ball, it's like already crossing the plate. Good luck. You know what? As I say that, let me take that back. Come on. They scored 4 runs off of Luis Castillo. They did tremendous against Logan Gilbert in the opener. You know what? I'm going to stop propping up these Mariners pitchers. They haven't been that impressive. Luis Castillo only struck out 3 tonight. You know, Royals... Again, I really don't have anything to be disappointed in. I'm not going to say I'm disappointed in Bobby. Come on. You know? Oh, he went 0 for 5. Yeah, well, he's human. Sorry. It happens. Salvi didn't have an extra base hit. He still had a multi-hit game. You know, and again, Mikel makes the error that I thought was the play or the... Yeah, the... Yeah, sadly, the play of the game. But I don't feel like sitting around and crushing Bobby, Salvi, or Mikel. They're the only reason why this team's been worth a darn over the past few weeks. So we'll get right back at it tomorrow. How about that? 1:10 for the first pitch. I'll be on the air beginning at 12 noon. We'll hear from MJ Melendez as the Royals fall against the Mariners. 6-5 the final score. We get back to your thoughts and hear from Melendez after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals Baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Burns Post Game Show. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
6-5, the final score. Royals drop Game 3 to the Seattle Mariners. Let's head inside that clubhouse and hear from MJ Melendez, one of only 3 Royals only. It's one-third of the lineup. One of 3 Royals to have multiple hits. Nelson Velasquez went 2 for 4, including his 3rd home run since the trade. Salvi, as I mentioned, had another multi-hit game. And then MJ Melendez, 3 for 4, including a 2-out RBI double in the 3rd inning to make it 4-3 Seattle. Nice night for MJ. Here's what he had to say afterward to Bally Sports, Kansas City.
Been working on some things, you know, since the break. You know, just trying to stay on every pitch. Obviously, you know, being on time is the most important part of hitting. And just trying to do that kind of helps me from chasing. And then obviously just being able to put the ball in play is important for me.
Has an approach changed where you're not necessarily looking to hit home runs, but just kind of spray it across the field now?
Yeah, definitely. I think the biggest thing for me is, you know, knowing myself. I feel like whenever I get the barrel to it, I hit it hard. You know, whether it's on the ground, on the line, in the air. So just trying to put the ball in play, honestly, has been the biggest thing for me. And really not trying to do too much. Definitely being okay with singles and all that stuff, I know. And at the end of the day, you know, if I miss hit a ball or get some air under it, you know, hopefully it carries and it goes. But just being okay with, you know, getting the singles, putting the ball in play.
And the last one for me, how do you feel seeing Salvi chug around the bases only to double?
It's always awesome. I think that's like the 3rd time that I've personally been hitting and he's scored from first base. I know it happened in St. Louis and another time here at home on a very similar play. So he's definitely got some wheels and it's pretty awesome to see him making that hustle play.
And the comeback came out just short. You guys scored 5 or more runs here in every game of the series. You got some pretty good pitchers. I mean, what does it say about kind of where this lineup is at right now?
Yeah, I think our offense is really, really rolling. You know, it's been a thing for us, you know, to be able to hit with runs in scoring position. And I feel like we've been doing that a lot better lately. And not only that, just, you know, really putting the pressure on. You know, we had bases loaded a couple times, even early in the game, you know, scoring those runs against Luis Castillo, which is, you know, one of the better pitchers in the big leagues and has some nasty stuff. So for us to kind of get on him early and get those runs, I think was definitely important for us.
MJ Melendez hitting 304 since the All-Star break. And, man, isn't that what makes baseball the SOB that it is? Did you catch that from MJ? know, I got to be happy with the singles, got to be happy with the base hits, and he's 100% right. Because as George Brett, I believe it's George Brett that always said this, so I guess that's maybe Charlie Lau, but a home run is the byproduct of a good swing, right? Keep putting good swings on the ball, and with your power, they'll eventually go over the fence. Now, it might happen more often when you're outside of Kansas City, but it'll happen on occasion here at Kauffman Stadium as well. I mentioned, isn't that the SOB that baseball is? Because that's the mindset you need to have, and yet bozos like me come on the radio and say, I need MJ to hit more home runs. I'm not interested in anything other than him having and showcasing power. I mean, I believe that. I believe that he needs to hit 20 home runs on a consistent basis. No. Sure. If he wants to do what he's done since the All-Star break, hit 304, OPS of 886, I'll take that too. But he hasn't necessarily shown me that that's sustainable. He's done it for the past month. I hope he does it for the final 40 games this season. Nice stuff there from MJ. Love for Salvador Perez, who's hitting 476 on this homestand. All right, a few more from the text line. The Jays Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. Vern, to go back to your off-season conversation from the 913, a number one, a number two, and a bat? Vern, that's like $55 million per season. No way we spend that. I mean, I agree. I would actually bump it up to about, you know, for the type of bat you need, right? You need a Kendrys Morales. And yeah, you need a real number one or a real number two. So yeah, to buy all three of those, or another way to say, to overspend for all three of those on the free agent market, because that's what you do in free agency, you overspend. Yeah, I'd say it's about $60, $65 million. And I agree, they're not going to do that. But what they could do is buy two of those three and try to trade for the other one. So I think that's possible. From the 913, Vern, what helps the team more, having prime Bobby Witt or prime Salvador Perez? Okay, so that's obviously hypothetical. Because even though Salvi might be in his prime mentally, and you know, the way that he downloads the game and sees the game, yeah, he's probably better than he's ever been. But he hit a line drive to the base of center field and barely made it around first base. But to your question, prime, Bobby Witt Jr. all day. Bobby's 23. Bobby's 4 or 5 years away from his prime, and he's on pace to go 30-30 this year. So I don't know what Bobby looks like in his prime, but I think it looks like Alex Rodriguez minus the needles. So yeah, Bobby's the answer. It's a fair question, right? A gold glove catcher and a guy that I would think is going to be in the gold glove conversation this season in Bobby Witt Jr. No, it's a fair question. It's Adley Rutschman or Bobby Witt Jr. It's that type of question. I think Rutschman's a better hitter now than Salvi was when he was younger. And I'm trying to think. You know, Salvi's best offensive season, of course, was 2021. So he's a 31-year-old, 30-31 post Tommy John. So maybe that's his prime. But to me, when I think of Salvi's prime, I'm thinking of him playing in 159 games behind the dish, bringing energy every single day for that pitching staff, for that team, for that winning clubhouse. That's an interesting one, but I'll still go with the shortstop. I'll still go with the speed. Now, Bobby has all five tools. Salvi has three. Not really going to hit for average. And obviously doesn't have speed. So I'll take five tools over three. Even though Salvi's three are going to hopefully land him in the Hall of Fame. From the 620, Vern, that foul ball play, Nelson Velasquez. He's got to let that ball fall, no? No, I don't think so. For those that missed it, it's a 4-4 game. And, 4-4 game, top of the eighth inning. Mikel Garcia makes an error to the leadoff hitter. Dylan Coleman's on the mound. He strikes out Julio Rodriguez, gives up a single to Eugenio Suarez, and then walks Ty France. So it's bases loaded, one out. Teoscar Hernandez hits a fly ball into foul territory down the right field line, just in front of the tarp down that right field foul line. And Velasquez makes the catch. The runner from third tags and comes home. Velasquez makes a nice throw. Salvi makes a great play, a beautiful tag, and it is bang, bang. Like Matt Quatrero said after the game, if on the field it's ruled safe, excuse me, if on the field it's ruled that he's out, replay's not overturning that. On the field, though, it was ruled that he was safe, and replay didn't overturn it. That's how bang, bang the play was. Whatever was called on the field was going to be upheld. No, I don't think you let that fall. Because, well, I'll speak for myself. I don't know that there's any guarantee that Dylan Coleman's certainly going to get Teoscar Hernandez out. And only one run scored in that eighth inning. But if Velasquez lets that ball fall, and the 1-2 pitch to Teoscar Hernandez is up in the zone, he can send that ball 450 feet off of the Hall of Fame and left. So, no, I thought that was the right play by Hernandez, or by Velasquez. 913-586-7610. Speaking of, from the 913, Vern, Velasquez has some pop. This dude deserves a shout-out. His defense might be a little suspect, but his bat deserves a shout-out. Yeah, 3 home runs since the trade. A trade deadline was 16 days ago. He went 1-for-22 in AAA, gets called up to the big leagues, and has basically completely taken Edward Olivares' job. Velasquez is 24, basically the same age as Drew Waters. He went 2-for-4 tonight with a one-out single in the fourth and that leadoff bomb in the ninth inning to bring the Royals within one. That's how we get out our 6-5 Seattle victory. I want to thank our proud sponsor, Rawhide Harley-Davidson, the number one volume Harley dealer in Kansas. Few more from the text line. 2 more, as a matter of fact. Nope, already read that one. This is from our guy, Raj, in the Ozarks. Speaking of Nelson Velasquez, Vernie's making the outfield spots a football training camp position battle. Now, you know what? I like that. Looking at that outfield, Isbell, Waters, Melendez, Velasquez. Now, none of them are going to, well, these are the most important games that they're going to play until opening day of 2024. Spring training certainly will matter, but I think what they do in spring training is almost comparable to what they do over these final 40 games in the regular season. Right? These are meaningful games. Maybe not for the Royals, but on an individual basis, they certainly are. And then the team in the other dugout, like Seattle, still in the playoff hunt, like Chicago, who you're going to see starting up on Friday night or Friday afternoon at Wrigley. Yeah, it is. You know, all of these guys are trying to go into the offseason, proving to J.J. Piccolo and the other 29 general managers that I deserve a shot. So, yeah, Royals fans, you should root for all 4 of them. Make those decisions as difficult as possible. So difficult that maybe another general manager lobs our general manager a phone call and says, hey, how about I take one of those guys off your hands? Now, maybe one of those outfielders gets packaged with fill-in-the-blank other minor leaguer, big leaguer, whoever else you want to move, and that turns into a starting pitcher for next season. Yeah, it is. That's a great point, Raj. That is a fun little battle to watch. In my opinion, the only guy that can excite me going into the offseason is Drew Waters. Velasquez, it's too short. Melendez, I already know that he's got this in him. You know, what he's doing since the All-Star break is impressive, but I asked this last year. That's why I was so high on MJ when the season started. Same with Kyle Isbell, who had his 8-game hitting streak come to an end tonight. But same with him. I know that glove is one of the best in the sport. But I need to see it for 162. I need to see you hit consistently for 162. Tomorrow it's going to be Angel Zerpa on the hill for the boys in blue as he goes opposite right-hander George Kirby. It's a 110 first pitch. I'll be on the air in just over 12 hours from now. 12 noon to be exact. Thanks to Grant Nicholson for the help back at the studio. Thanks to you for listening. Yeah, we'll do it again tomorrow. Hope to see you out at Craft and Draft. Give you a chance to win some Royals tickets. Be listening tomorrow, 12 noon, right here on 610 Sports Radio. Take care. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Diving is MJ Melendez. Did he make that catch?
Welcome back to Vern's postgame show. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
6-5, the final score. Royals drop game 3 to the Seattle Mariners. Let's head inside that clubhouse and hear from MJ Melendez, one of only three Royals only. It's one-third of the lineup. One of three Royals to have multiple hits. Nelson Velasquez went 2-for-4, including his third home run since the trade. Salvi, as I mentioned, had another multi-hit game. And then MJ Melendez, 3-for-4, including a two-out RBI double in the third inning to make it 4-3 Seattle. Nice night for MJ. Here's what he had to say afterward to Bally Sports Kansas City.
Been working on some things, you know, since the break. You know, just trying to stay on every pitch. Obviously, you know, being on time is the most important part of hitting. And just trying to do that kind of helps me from chasing. And then obviously just being able to put the ball in play is important for me.
Has an approach changed where you're not necessarily looking to hit home runs, but just kind of spray it across the field now?
Yeah, definitely. I think the biggest thing for me is, you know myself. I feel like whenever I get the barrel to it, I hit it hard. You know, whether it's on the ground, on the line, in the air. So just trying to put the ball in play, honestly, has been the biggest thing for me. And really not trying to do too much. Definitely being okay with singles and all that stuff, I know. And at the end of the day, you know, if I miss hit a ball or get some air under it, you know, hopefully it carries and it goes. But just being okay with, you know, getting the singles, putting the ball in play.
And the last one for me, how did it feel seeing Salvi chug around the bases only to double?
It's always awesome. I think that's like the third time that I've personally been hitting and he's scored from first base, and it happened in St. Louis and another time here at home on a very similar play. So he's definitely got some wheels, and it's pretty awesome to see him making that hustle play.
Yeah. And the comeback came out just short. You guys scored 5 or more runs here in every game of the series. You got some pretty good pitchers. I mean, what does it say about kind of where this lineup is at right now?
Yeah, I think our offense is really, really rolling. You know, it's been a thing for us, you know, to be able to hit with runs in scoring position. And I feel like we've been doing that a lot better lately. And not only that, just, you know, really putting the pressure on. You know, we had bases loaded a couple times, even early in the game, you know, scoring those runs against Luis Castillo, which is, you know, one of the better pitchers in the big leagues and has some nasty stuff. So for us to kind of get on him early and get those runs, I think was definitely important for us.
MJ Melendez hitting 304 since the All-Star break. And, man, isn't that what makes baseball the SOB that it is? Did you catch that from MJ? No. I got to be happy with the singles, got to be happy with the base hits, and he's 100% right. Because as George Brett, I believe it's George Brett that always said this, so I guess that's maybe Charlie Lau, but a home run is the byproduct of a good swing, right? Keep putting good swings on the ball, and with your power, they'll eventually go over the fence. Now, it might happen more often when you're outside of Kansas City, but it'll happen on occasion here at Kauffman Stadium as well. I mentioned, isn't that the SOB that baseball is? Because that's the mindset you need to have, and yet bozos like me come on the radio and say, I need MJ to hit more home runs. I'm not interested in anything other than him having and showcasing power. I mean, I believe that. I believe that he needs to hit 20 home runs on a consistent basis. No. Sure, sure. If he wants to do what he's done since the All-Star break, hit 304, OPS of 886, I'll take that too. But he hasn't necessarily shown me that that's sustainable. He's done it for the past month. I hope he does it for the final 40 games this season. Nice stuff there from MJ. Love for Salvador Perez, who's hitting 476 on this homestand. All right, a few more from the text line. The Jays Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. Vern, to go back to your off-season conversation from the 913, a number one, a number two, and a bat? Vern, that's like $55 million per season. No way we spend that. I mean, I agree. I would actually bump it up to about, you know, for the type of bat you need, right? You need a Kendrys Morales. And yeah, you need a real number one or a real number two. So yeah, to buy all three of those, or another way to say, to overspend for all three of those on the free agent market, because that's what you do in free agency, you overspend. Yeah, I'd say it's about $60, $65 million. And I agree, they're not going to do that. But what they could do is buy two of those three and try to trade for the other one. So I think that's possible. From the 913, Vern, what helps the team more, having prime Bobby Witt or prime Salvador Perez? Okay, so that's obviously a hypothetical. Because even though Salvi might be in his prime mentally and you know, the way that he downloads the game and sees the game, yeah, he's probably better than he's ever been. But he hit a line drive to the base of center field and barely made it around first base. But to your question, prime, Bobby Witt Jr. all day. Bobby's 23. Bobby's 4 or 5 years away from his prime, and he's on pace to go 30-30 this year. So I don't know what Bobby looks like in his prime, but I think it looks like Alex Rodriguez minus the needles. So, yeah, Bobby's the answer. It's a fair question, right? A gold glove catcher and a guy that I would think is going to be in the gold glove conversation this season in Bobby Witt Jr. No, it's a fair question. It's Adley Rutschman or Bobby Witt Jr. It's that type of question. I think Rutschman's a better hitter now than Salvi was when he was younger. And I'm trying to think. You know, Salvi's best offensive season, of course, was 2021. So he's a 31-year-old, 30-31 post Tommy John. So maybe that's his prime. But to me, when I think of Salvi's prime, I'm thinking of him playing in 159 games behind the dish, bringing energy every single day for that pitching staff, for that team, for that winning clubhouse. That's an interesting one, but I'll still go with the shortstop. I'll still go with the speed. Now, Bobby has all five tools. Salvi has three. Not really going to hit for average. And obviously doesn't have speed. So I'll take five tools over three. Even though Salvi's three are going to hopefully land him in the Hall of Fame. From the 620, Vern, that foul ball play, Nelson Velasquez. He's got to let that ball fall, no? No, I don't think so. For those that missed it, it's a 4-4 game. And, yeah, 4-4 game, top of the eighth inning. Michael Garcia makes an error to the leadoff hitter. Dylan Coleman's on the mound. He strikes out Julio Rodriguez, gives up a single to Eugenio Suarez, and then walks Ty France. So it's bases loaded, one out. Teoscar Hernandez hits a fly ball into foul territory down the right field line, just in front of the tarp down that right field foul line. And Velasquez makes the catch. The runner from third tags and comes home. Velasquez makes a nice throw. Salvi makes a great play, a beautiful tag, and it is bang, bang. Like Matt Quatrero said after the game, if on the field it's ruled safe, excuse me, if on the field it's ruled that he's out, replay's not overturning that. On the field, though, it was ruled that he was safe, and replay didn't overturn it. That's how bang-bang the play was. Whatever was called on the field was going to be upheld. No, I don't think you let that fall because, well, I'll speak for myself. I don't know that there's any guarantee that Dylan Coleman's certainly going to get Teoscar Hernandez out. And only one run scored in that eighth inning. But if Velasquez lets that ball fall and the 1-2 pitch to Teoscar Hernandez is up in the zone, he can send that ball 450 feet off of the Hall of Fame and left. So no, I thought that was the right play by Hernandez, or by Velasquez. 913-586-7610. Speaking of, from the 913, Vern, Velasquez has some pop. This dude deserves a shout-out. His defense might be a little suspect, but his bat deserves a shout-out. Yeah, three home runs since the trade. A trade deadline was 16 days ago. He went 1-for-22 in AAA, gets called up to the big leagues, and has basically completely taken Edward Olivares' job. Velasquez is 24, basically the same age as Drew Waters. He went 2-for-4 tonight with a one-out single in the fourth and that leadoff bomb in the ninth inning to bring the Royals within one. That's how we get out our 6-5 Seattle victory. I want to thank our proud sponsor, Rawhide Harley-Davidson, the number one volume Harley dealer in Kansas. Few more from the text line. Two more, as a matter of fact. Nope, I already read that one. This is from our guy Raj in the Ozarks. Speaking of Nelson Velasquez, Vernie's making the outfield spots a football training camp position battle. Now, you know what? I like that. Looking at that outfield, Isbell, Waters, Melendez, Velasquez. Now, none of them are going to, well, these are the most important games that they're going to play until opening day of 2024. Spring training certainly will matter, but I think what they do in spring training is almost comparable to what they do over these final 40 games in the regular season. Right? These are meaningful games, maybe not for the Royals, but on an individual basis, they certainly are. And then the team in the other dugout, like Seattle, still in the playoff hunt, like Chicago, who you're going to see starting up on Friday night or Friday afternoon at Wrigley. Yeah, it is. You know, all of these guys are trying to go into the offseason, proving to J.J. Piccolo and the other 29 general managers that I deserve a shot. So, yeah, Royals fans, you should root for all four of them. Make those decisions as difficult as possible. So difficult that maybe another general manager lobs our general manager a phone call and says, hey, how about I take one of those guys off your hands? Now, maybe one of those outfielders gets packaged with fill-in-the-blank other minor leaguer, big leaguer, whoever else you want to move, and that turns into a starting pitcher for next season. Yeah, it is. That's a great point, Raj. That is a fun little battle to watch. In my opinion, the only guy that can excite me going into the offseason is Drew Waters. Velasquez, it's too short. Melendez, I already know that he's got this in him. You know, what he's doing since the All-Star break is impressive, but I asked this last year. That's why I was so high on MJ when the season started. Same with Kyle Isbell, who had his 8-game hitting streak come to an end tonight. But same with him. I know that glove is one of the best in the sport. But I need to see it for 162. I need to see you hit consistently for 162. Tomorrow it's going to be Angel Zerpa on the hill for the boys in blue as he goes opposite right-hander George Kirby. It's a 1:10 first pitch. I'll be on the air in just over 12 hours from now. 12 noon to be exact. Thanks to Grant Nicholson for the help back at the studio. Thanks to you for listening. And we'll do it again tomorrow. Hope to see you out at Craft and Draft. Give you a chance to win some Royals tickets. Be listening tomorrow, 12 noon, right here on 610 Sports Radio. Take care. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Diving is MJ Melendez. Did he make that catch? He did!
Check out the All